saw a Facebook post, and I'm like, that nailed it. That was very concise, and it was very close to what I wanted to do. I went ahead and posted it. Some of you probably already read it or something like that. So I'm going to reread this thing to you. And this is not our text, but this is one of the things I thought. This actually puts it in a good picture for me. And this guy has a picture of a tree. Says, this is a pic of my lemon tree today. My lemon tree is nearly 10 years old. For the first 6 years, it didn't produce one lemon. Folks told me to trim it. I did, and no lemons. Others told me to fertilize it. I did, no lemons. So I gave up on it and brought a little orange tree in the foreground. All of a sudden, lemon tree starts producing lemons. It didn't need better soil, more light, or more to eat. All that was missing was cross-pollination. It required pollen from the orange tree. You and I cannot make it in the church just because the ground is fertile and there's plenty of light. We need each other. We need friends. We need connections, not only to God, but to the body. I need you, brother, and you need me. Make an effort to connect with people of like precious faith. Invite someone over for fellowship. Invite someone out for coffee or a burger. Especially reach out to new members who need a connection. Get involved in a Bible study. It's the only way you will ever be able to produce fruit. And I thought, what a cool little illustration, what a cool little guideline that the guy threw out there. And I think he's pretty close to right on. So as we look at it, as we try to figure out our vision side of it, it's obvious to me, and it was obvious a long time ago, the thing that I see theme-wise is fellowship. Now, to make it humorous, this comes on the heels of ending our Wednesday night meal. You know, it's like, we're not doing the Wednesday night meal because it became cumbersome and it didn't really work out as well as we hoped it would have. And so there's a few things where we've kind of shut things down, and that's okay. God's allowed them to shut down. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But I think, and I say this, we're comfortable with each other here, right? Maybe some of us, I don't know. We know each other, we see each other, all this garbage. But one thing we fail in, and John reminded me of this the other day, he says, hey man, let's do some lunch thing. I worked today, so we couldn't do it. But we need more time of just going and hanging out and being with each other, encouraging, building up, exhorting, the whole thing like that. Fellowship is huge, and it's hugely important. I'm going to give you one last thing before we begin our text. Our text is in 1 John, if you want to move over to that in your Bibles. But watching a thing from a guy named Francis Chan, now you might not agree completely theologically with Francis Chan, that's okay, you don't have to. He talked about both. This dude left a mega church and started a home church movement. And I thought, it's kind of a weird thing to do, leaving a mega church, and he's got a good paycheck, all that stuff. But he said what it turned out to be is everybody came for a motivational speaker every week. He said, oh yeah, the place is filled. Oh yeah, everything's happening. Oh, we love hearing from you, Pastor Chandler, whatever. But apparently, this Chinese guy figured it out. Why can't we? And that was that one day he was baptizing this young man. And the young man had come out of the gang life. It's Southern California. He was in Crips or Bloods or whatever gang. I don't know, up on current gang. He was with you in a gang, right? So I don't know. He's like, gang. I can't even spell gang. Anyways, he came out of the gang life and he was being baptized. And he said, I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be more like family. I thought it was going to be more like the gang was. And what an indictment that was to the church at the time. What an indictment that is to the church today. And so, as I thought about it, and I saw that, man, that put everything back in perspective where I wanted to have it. I just couldn't articulate it as well as the guy who had a picture of a lemon tree. We need to be concerned about our fellowship with others. We need to be concerned about the time that we spend and invest in others. And to use a word that I don't like using, God knows what it is, we need to be what? Intentional. That was, James, you knew that one too, right? Were you there for that? The intentional phase that you weren't. Okay. A company that we used to work for had a big thing on their wall in the office area, by the cubicles, and it said intentional, so everything you do, you did with intent to do it properly. to say it, we need to be intentional about fellowship. We need to be there. We need to, you know, whatever we got to do, however we got to do it, whether it's just like, hey, come over to my house, you know, eat a dinner with me and hang out. That's the kind of thing we need. We don't need like, all right, let's do a structured big fellowship thing. We need something that's personal, something that makes it close. What makes the home church movement grow so well is the fact that there are three or four families together and they're just really close to each other. There's an accountability because everybody sees what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. And there's a tight accountability to that group. And it's a stronger bond. And it's something that we would miss it. Like if this became a mega church, which no fears of that. However, if it became a mega church, then we would absolutely lose that. And there's a threshold, and most people say it's around 300 people before you lose it. And that's like, if you hit 200 people, you just start worrying about splitting your church off a little bit, you're kind of shaving your portion off and getting to go a different direction. Because once you hit, like, between 200 and 300 is your sweet spot, when you can still have close fellowship, and you can still have bonds, and know all the, you know, the whatsoever, and have a good accountability between people. Anyways, I'll let it to be said later. Let's look at 1 John, excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light and He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So looking at the text there, the word fellowship comes up a couple of times, does it not? We need to have fellowship in three different places. First off, we need to have fellowship with God. That's a tough one, isn't it? That's prayer time. That's reading time. That's all that stuff. And you say, John, you've already covered that. I know, and that's why I'm not going to pay a lot of attention to that today. There is a prayer life that we have. There's 500 different kinds of Bible reading programs to get you through the year, or you can just sit there and read through. You know, you don't have to have a plan, but if you're somebody who likes to have a plan, get a plan. They got them everywhere. You can get them on Blue Letter Bible. Everybody has a plan. This is different. I saw one, and I thought it was kind of cool. You know, you can find one that fits your personality or whatever. It doesn't matter. But that's part of the fellowship that you would have with God. Part of the fellowship that you would have with God is prayer. We need a better prayer life, right? Some of us struggle with a good prayer life, and some of us have a better prayer life. It's all kind of fitting however you are. But that's part of the process. You read God's Word. You see what He has to tell you. And you pray to God. You communicate with Him. And now you're having something called fellowship. When you have that, when we do communion, that's also a fellowship with God. Same kind of a mindset. Now we're eating and drinking with God, so to speak, right? With inside the communion. We'll share that later. We'll experience that later. So those are critical portions of fellowship that we need to be having. And we need to enjoy and embrace those things. But again, that's one aspect of it. Fellowship is also engaging with other people. You don't have to have somebody over to your house. You can go have a hamburger like the thing suggested. Go have coffee. Don't look to me to have coffee with, because I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm not old enough yet. One day, I'll be as old as me, right? He always claims to be my age. There's a place and a time for everything, but I think we have forgone the place and time to have fellowship, just to hang out. Now, we want to hang out in God's light. We want to hang out in God's Word. We want to have a biblical fellowship. And so when we do have, and that's, we used to go to the one restaurant, I can't remember, Marriott's, right? We used to go over there, and we sit and we'd do a little Bible talk and we'd do, you know, that kind of stuff is what we need to be doing. Just not as a, setup or as a structured type of thing to do, but hey, now let's go catch a burger. Hey, let's go get some burritos or something. You know, there's always something, just like, just a little hangout time. Or hey, you know, let's go to the park and what do you do at the park? I don't know. Run from the ducks. Do they still have ducks in the park? I don't know. The geese are the ones you got to run from, right? Anyways, so there's always that kind of a thing. But what we see in what John wrote here, it says what? That we, going back to verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So there was that threefold thing that you had to have with the Father, with the Son, and with the other people. You have to have this fellowship, lest it die, lest the work of, you know, God that you're trying to do, the thing that you're doing, it falls apart and goes away. And so it's imperative that you and I engage in others and spend time. You know, we have a thing, or, you know, like every Sunday, or every first Sunday of the month, except January, because that's our sabbatical month for fellowship meals. But what happens in that fellowship time? We sit around and we talk, and oh, it's the same stories we heard last month. That's okay, because people are dialoguing, they're getting along, and it's all the stuff that's working out well. It's an intentional time to do that. It's an intentional time to sit down and to talk about things of Jesus. Believe it or not, people like to talk about Jesus. I don't know. It's weird they do it with me. You know, I like that part. I know it's odd, isn't it? It's so odd. I was joking with Don the other day because we were talking about, you know, we're discussing the thing. In our men's group, we had three basic different perspectives on the same task, or on the same thing. I can't remember exactly how it all laid out. And I thought it was funny because there is a fine line between fellowshipping, you know, doing all that, and taking it too far. And I said, what did I say? It's like, is this like gossip? We're talking about the Bible. We're not, we're just, I was joking with it. But what do we do in that time? We, you know, we got some Bible stuff in, right? Jason, you're filling us with some cool information, going back and forth. You brought some good stuff. You know, it was just how it worked. And that's fellowship, guys. That's when we're really starting to bring in and grow and learn. John says that we need to have that fellowship. It's imperative. The book of Acts, I had this scripture. It fits so, but the root's going to transition us better down to this next one. In Acts 2 and verse 41, it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added to that, added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to, you know, to doing God's work. And let me say this, it's a team effort. I can't do everything. I think sometimes I can, right? I act like I can, but I know I can't. But not one person here does everything. They just don't, they can't, it's impossible. We need as a group to be able to do different things and have, okay, so you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, and we all kind of work together as a team. If you'll watch a football game, you'll notice there's but one quarterback, right? Because you don't want four people trying to throw the same ball in, you know, five different directions. You just don't need that. So we have different places where different people are going to go. And in that same teamwork mentality, all these different people will do, be able to do different things. But notice that that was a fellowship was a very important part. Being together, the coming together, and all that. You know, there's a story about a pastor. And, you know, he has a semi, you know, sized church, probably, you know, bigger than this one, but smaller than some, right? And there's a guy there that he'd been doing really well, been coming along, everything's going fine, and the guy stopped showing up to church. Just stopped showing up to church. He calls him and says, "Man, can I come see you?" The guy goes, "Yeah, absolutely. Want to see me?" All right, cool. So he goes over to his house in his wintertime, like it is now, and he goes to his fireplace and he takes a grabs a little piece grabber that you see in the three prong deal from the firework or fireplace, whatever. He takes a small piece of wood and he sets it down outside of the fire, see that you're stumbling drunk, well, that's a problem, right? There's accountability. Like, man, better stop drinking Sunday morning. I'm going to go to church, you know? So there becomes an accountability, and then we go fellowship and pop into somebody's house. And people come to my house randomly. They're like, hey, dude, what's up, man? I'm here. I don't know what I can think of right offhand, but hey, I'm coming to your house. Oh, when are you going to be there? Oh, I'm like 5 minutes away. Well, okay. You know, there's an accountability to that, isn't there? And if I show up at your house or whatever like that, there becomes an accountability thing. And it's not that, like, you guys are such scumbags that when you check on it, but what happens is you begin to see the importance of living holy. It all comes inside the capsule of fellowship. It comes inside the package deal of getting with, you know, getting along with each other. Now, I say all that, I want to throw a negative on it if I can for just a moment. This is a huge negative, and I apologize now for having to use it, but I want to encourage everybody here to be in fellowship with each other in a positive light, you know, good Christian fellowship. But there is the other side to that. Today, I would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be the sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So we need to have fellowship positive, right? But we don't need to have negative fellowship. I'm not going to tell you who your friends are. That's none of my business. I'm not going to tell you who to spend your time with, who to hang out with, and all that. None of my business. But the Bible says that we need to be careful who we hang out with, doesn't it? We need to be very cautious and very careful to say, I'm going to spend and invest my time in people who belong to Jesus. I think about that, and I know some people that, you know, Facebook is like the most detrimental thing. Sometimes it's halfway beneficial, but most of the time it's detrimental. And I see some people on there, and I see some interesting things. And people that I apparently know. You ever have that? Somebody says, I want to be your friend. You're like, and they connect all the right dots, but like, I still can't put that person in the right place to know exactly who they are. I went to school with this person. It wasn't a big school. Graduating class, 17 people. I got to know lots of people in that school, right? Like, you know most of the people in that school pretty easily. And yet, there are people I'm going, I don't know who this person is. Or, you know, old Army people that are like, they can validate, man, that they were there, but I just can't remember who they are. I didn't spend that time with them in fellowship with them. But now they want to be my friends. And they want to begin to influence me. And they want to put their stuff up. And they want to make an impact on my life and say, but if you'll just pay attention to this, and whether it be political, and I got some real weird liberal friends on there, you know, and they'll put some weird garbage in, and they'll taunt me, and then I got the conservative people to do similar things, and you know, so it goes all around the globe. But one that bugs me to no end is when they start trying to sell me witchcraft. And I have a few that are doing that currently. Look how this is. Maybe it's the month of the goat or something. I don't know. I'm making stuff up because I don't pay attention to it. But they have these weird things in there. And they're like, but you want to get involved in this? And the answer is what? No, I don't. Why not? How does it build up God? How does it edify the body of Christ? How does it do these things that we need to do? And so when we have fellowship, we need to be intentional about with whom we have fellowship. You say, well, I got a really good friend who's, you know, a satanic high priest. Probably had a scratch homeboy off your good friend list. Just a stretch. Well, I have a friend who's been trying to get me into playing these cards that tell the future. They're not parrot cards. somebody who was born in this time frame, from this day to this day to this month, and happens to line up with the Sagittarius or whatever like that, and here's your solar sign or lunar sign or lunar, there we go, and here's your star symbol, and you're the goat, or you're the lion, or you're the Virgo, the Virgin, or you name it. I'm being silly, making fun of stuff. I apologize. I do know more about it than I'm letting on, but I want to make it silly and look that way. Here's the reason. Because it's all garbage. Right? I remember people saying, oh, well, you're a Leo. Did you know I'm a Leo? You know how I know that? Because people keep telling me that. And I'm thinking, Leo's lying. I'm tough to you. That's not what it is. It's some weird astrological sign thing that means if I'm this kind of a person, then I'm going to get really along with this kind of a person. Well, I'm married to another Leo, so I'm a loser. Right? I don't know if those are supposed to mix. I have no idea. I don't care. You know why? Because God is far beyond that. But I have people in my life that try to push that nonsense on me and say, this is what it is. And you know what I do to those people? I begin chiseling them off the fellowship list. I don't need your time. I don't need your, because you're causing problems with me. We need a fellowship, and we need a fellowship with like-minded believers. You say, well, I fellowship with all sorts of people. That's true. You can do that. You may find a tough time with a Church of Christ person because you say, well, I like praise music. You know, I like to hear this, that, and the other, and stuff. And they're like, well, we don't like music, instruments, and other stuff. You might have a hard time with that person, and that's okay. You can talk theology all day long, and you probably do really well with that side, but when you come to the other part of it, you will have problems. I promise you will. So we need to look at things and say, when. Now, let me say this too. Fellowship is not evangelism. Friendship evangelism is garbage. Friendship evangelism says, I'm going to live the good part next to this person. So we're going to fellowship with people who are not believers, legit, what they want to tell you. And I'm just going to absolutely fellowship with these people. And they're going to see my life. They're going to see how I've got so much joy and this, that, and the other. I don't know if you talk to Christians much. But a lot of Christians are going, man, I'm struggling right now. Something's happened. You know, man, God's putting a press on me for who knows what reason. And is that so positive and uplifting that people want to come to Jesus over it? No. No, it's not. And so we need to be careful on the people we invest all of our time in. Now, let me say this. If you practice an evangelism and somebody comes to Jesus, you need to invest a lot more time with that person. Now we're talking discipleship. That's a different kind of fellowship, but it's fellowship nonetheless. Listen, I'm going to say something really weird, and it may be off-putting to some of you. That's okay. I don't care if we never outgrow this room. I came to this conclusion probably about a year or so ago. I don't care if we ever outgrow this room, but I want the people who come and sit in this room to be solid. I want them to be people who are serving Jesus and loving Jesus. Now, odds work it this way. We're not going to have that. There's going to be a certain percentage you do this, a certain percentage you do that, but I think maybe we should try to lopside that percentage and say, why don't more of us be God-serving, fellowshipping kind of people? I'm convinced of this, too. If we can get the whole group in here to be that way, to just be that mindset. And again, this is not a charity job. I think we do a reasonable job, but there's always room for improvement, right? Always. So please don't take just as a being God. Zach's like, man, I don't know. I just can't handle this anymore. The reason I come to church is my dad forces me to. It's not the beat down, guys. It's the encouragement. We're doing good, but we can do better. And we can invest in more people, invest more time, and we can see a difference in people. When people walk in here, and some of us are good huggers, and some of us are not. I'm kind of a standoffish person. I'm trying to be better. If I hug you, it's because I made a mental note that I got to do that. It's not that I dislike people. I'm just not a, I'm kind of a personal space kind of guy. Like, this is my personal space, don't invade it. That's how I am. I apologize for, and I'm intentional to hug her. I'm like, you know what? Because I'm just like, I can be rough. Because people want to know that we're investing in their lives. Let me say this too. Be I saw Tony, I was like, ooh, yeah, man. And what did I tell you? My Christmas wish was answered. So I never wished a Christmas wish. But if I did, it would be for Tony to walk in and say, hey, man. Why? Because it doesn't matter. I care. When I see things going on, I care about you guys. And we need to love each other. We need to invest in each other. So that's my charge for the beginning of the year. If we can do anything else this year, what are we going to do? Fellowship. Love each other. Well, fellowship is like the catch-all word. Here it is. And the ball of fellowship opens out into love. It opens out into conversation. It opens out into dinners. It opens out to all these different aspects, different avenues, different things. You could once a month say, I'm going to intentionally do a thing this month.